the Gospel of Matthew. Last week, we found Jesus resisting the devil's temptations in the wilderness. Today's passage in Matthew 4 follows right after that. It's on page 1504 if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When Jesus was being tempted by Satan, he was near Jerusalem, the religious and political center of Judaism. This map is a little hard to read, but I hope you can see how far Jerusalem is from where Jesus was in Galilee. He did not begin his ministry in Jerusalem, knowing he goes all the way up 100 miles north to Galilee. He had grown up there in Nazareth, and maybe he spent a bit of time in Nazareth yet, but then he moves to Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. Though it did not seem the most likely or logical place for Jesus to begin his ministry, Matthew uses a prophecy from Isaiah to make biblical sense of it. For Isaiah associated the Messiah with Galilee. And Matthew reminds us, as he did in chapter 2 when he highlighted the foreign magi, and even earlier when his genealogy of Jesus features the women who had been foreigners, here again, Matthew uses Isaiah to point out that Jesus has come to the Gentiles as well as the Jews to shine a great light on all who are living in darkness. So there in Galilee, Jesus began his ministry with the word of the Lord. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This message is exactly the same one that John the Baptist had preached. Repent. It's an imperative form. It's a command. It doesn't quite mean what we have come to think repent means, feeling sad about our sin. It actually means to turn around. To repent is to change one's life, a complete change of attitude and thought. It may mean turning away from things that have preoccupied us. It may require a change of mind and heart that results in a changed lifestyle. The call to repent does often have to do with sin and with righteousness. So John the Baptist had preached a message of repentance to prepare people for the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. God's people needed to look at what was wrong in their own lives and in the world around them and turn their attention away from what was unloving, unholy, unjust, unrighteous. They needed to turn away from those things within them and around them and refocus on the things of God: righteousness, mercy, peace. They needed to shift their attention and change their lives. For the kingdom of heaven, another way of talking about the kingdom of God, is about to break through. John the Baptist brought a message that the people needed to hear, and maybe we need to hear it today too. And Jesus repeats that same message that John had preached because it is a true message from God. Now that John is in prison, it's time. It's time for Jesus to begin preaching. And he takes the message to a new location and a different audience because both Gentiles and Jews, and ultimately the whole world, need to hear this message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming near. Repent. Turn your lives around. Change. In his commentary on Matthew, Dale Bruner explains, it does not tell what to turn from specifically. The emphasis is on turning from our preoccupations, sins, or goods toward God. What keeps one from turning toward the coming kingdom is that from which one should turn. The very objectlessness of the verb stresses the simplicity and so the urgency of the turning. Repent. Turn and change your ways, because here comes the kingdom of heaven. It's God's kingdom, a kingdom where people gather to eat together. God's government, the government of the one who comes with glory and power, a kingdom not of this world. When Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven has come near, he means it's heading straight toward you. Think of it this way. If your friend is about to cross a street and you see a truck coming, you may well say, "Watch out!" Here, Jesus' words have that same urgency. Look out! Move! A whole new kingdom is breaking in on you. Like breaking news, here it comes. And it is still coming. So Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee and brings this message of God's kingdom coming. He walks along and he sees men making their living, casting their nets into the Sea of Galilee. Peter and Andrew, James and John, well, they thought they had already figured out what they were supposed to do with their lives. They were fishermen. James and John were in business with their dad, and Peter and Andrew fished nearby. They had settled into a good, steady career. And then Jesus comes along, and everything changes. Jesus came to the shore of Galilee and called out to Simon, Peter, and Andrew, "Come, follow me." These words are a bold invitation. Jesus doesn't use the imperative command form this time. It's an invitation. He invites the fishermen to come, follow. And they set their nets down at once and follow. When there is repetition in Scripture, it's usually a good idea to pay attention to it. I've already mentioned that Jesus came repeating the same message that John the Baptist had preached. Now, when Jesus calls these disciples, Matthew uses both repetition and variation in their call narrative. First, Jesus saw Simon Peter and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. He said, "Come and follow." And at once they left their nets and followed him. Then Jesus saw James and John preparing their nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus saw them with their nets. Jesus said, Jesus called. At once, immediately, they left their nets. They left their boat and their father. What radical responses. When Jesus calls out the invitation, their response is decisive, immediate, and complete. They left their nets and their boats, the tools of what has been their trade. James and John even left their father behind. Sometimes the call of Jesus demands our all, so they drop everything to follow him. Following this call narrative is an introduction to what the ministry of Jesus looks like for those who follow him. Jesus walks all over Galilee. He teaches in their worship spaces. He preaches the gospel, the good news of what God's kingdom is like. And he heals people. Jesus healed all the diseases of body and mind and spirit. And as people heard about that good news for body and soul, the crowds came. They came from all over. That map, remember how it was Syria, Galilee, the Decapolis, then further down, Jerusalem, the Jordan. Even though Jesus was all the way up in Galilee, people even came from Jerusalem, and they came to hear his teaching. They came to be healed. They came to be enfolded into the coming kingdom of God. And once they hear Jesus speak and experience Jesus' healing or witness it in others, they stick around. They follow Jesus. Large crowds, it says, follow Jesus. And still today, so many people follow Jesus. They hear his call to turn around. They respond to the invitation from Jesus, come, follow me. Many of us have responded to that call, even when it means a change in direction. We might be doing something we love or something that's at least paying the bills, and then we get a new call. It could be a stirring in our hearts to explore a ministry that we want to know more about. It could be a job offer out of the blue, something we wouldn't have thought of on our own, but then we see how it might just fit. Some are called into ministry or teaching or business or social work or medicine or politics. God's calling can come in many ways and to many parts of your life. Sometimes your job is your primary calling, and other times it's what you do outside of work, where you more clearly sense the call of God. Both can be right and good. Wherever you work, wherever you spend your time and energy, God's call is to turn away from the darkness of the world and turn to the light of God. Maybe even now you are experiencing a life-changing invitation to drop everything you've been doing and follow Jesus to something new. Maybe you're already responding to God's call and you just need to be reminded that your attention needs to be regularly retuned, refocused, so that wherever you are dwelling in the love of God. You are seeking God's kingdom, shining the light of Christ into whatever shadows appear around you or within you. God may be showing you a new way to learn from Jesus, to encourage or help or resist, to speak truth to power, to protect the human dignity of all God's children and the whole earth that God created. We all are called to follow Jesus wherever we find ourselves. So if you're the bishop of the National Cathedral, you're called to speak God's word of mercy. If you're working in a factory, you're called to show compassion to your fellow laborer, to assure all that Christ came for all. On Wednesday of this past week, Max Boven, a Neyland member, invited Pastor Joel and me to come visit him where he works. It's called Next Step of West Michigan. Some of you have visited there, and maybe you've seen stories in the news. Next Step is a faith-based enterprise that provides job skills, training, and employment opportunities to community members who've been pushed toward the edges of our society. Next Step, which is under the umbrella of Mel Trotter Ministries, helps people who are facing tough times learn skills to build a better future. Max is the employment and community coordinator for Next Step, and it was a delight to hear him talk about his work, to see the furniture being made, and to meet people there. And it seemed like almost every time we had a conversation with someone, they talked about how working there was a calling. Often they shared the story of how God has used past experiences to prepare them for this new calling. We saw evidence of how God is using this ministry to bring healing to people who had made bad choices and were turning toward a new way to live. And then Max ended our time together by talking about his own call. He said his wife, Steph, had seemed to have a clear call since childhood. She's a teacher, and she's still doing a great job in education. Yet his calling had been less clear as he explored different opportunities since college. But he said, Next Step is clearly where God is calling him to serve right now. Was such a wonderful example of how God can call someone to a particular task and equip them for it, whether it's for a season or for a lifelong career. So friends, what about you? How is God calling? Where will God's call take you? Earlier, I didn't explain the full invitation to the fishermen, and I need to say that now. When Jesus said, "Come follow me," he also said, "I will make you fishers of men." At least that's how I always learned it. Jesus was going to cause them to do a new thing. They would learn to catch people for the kingdom. The way our NIV Bibles translate this verse offers a fresh perspective. Jesus says, "I will send you out to fish for people." And then in Matthew 10, after the disciples have followed him for a while, Jesus sends them out to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near and to heal the sick. And finally, at the very end of Matthew's gospel, the resurrected Lord Jesus tells the disciples, "Go now and make disciples of all nations." So the kingdom mission that Jesus begins here in Matthew 4 will be carried out by many who have followed him, people who have heard that invitation to come and follow, then go forth. Dear friends, Jesus offers that invitation to all of us. Come. Come to Jesus. Turn your full attention on the Lord. Follow. Learn from Jesus. Study his teaching. Watch how he loved and healed all kinds of people. Follow in his footsteps. Walk, march in his light. And go. Go into your workplaces, into your neighborhoods, your libraries, gyms, wherever you gather with other people. Jesus sends us out, so go and proclaim the gospel good news that the kingdom of God is breaking through. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, thank you for sending your light to shine in the darkness. Thank you for sending Jesus to invite us to come and follow, and their Spirit who equips us to go out, to share the good news with everyone we meet. O God, help us to respond. with love and gratitude, obedience, and joyful service. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing a song.